One of the most encouraging developments in the Church's life in recent times has been the rise of the spirituality direction, retreat movement and Christian spirituality enthusiasm right across the denominational divide. Spiritual practices that until a few decades ago were seen as the preserve of a Roman Catholic and Anglo-Catholic elite are now widely shared by many Christians from different churches. I still get a mild surprise when from time to time I hear Presbyterians, Baptists and Methodists talking enthusiastically about going on silent retreats and having a spiritual director. Perhaps the biggest surprise of all is the way the Ignatian method of spiritual discernment, directed retreats and style of spiritual direction appears to have become so popular, even apparently the dominant style of doing business in the approach path to God. Calling someone Jesuitical used to be a big insult in the Christian world, but now Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, appears to have made one of his biggest long-term contributions in a spiritual method used widely by many whose ancestors in the faith loathed and detested Jesuits. But there are two problems with this big step forward in ecumenical Christian spirituality. The first comes from within the Christian churches. To some extent, it's all become something of an industry. You could argue that to some extent it's evolved into a specialty service catering for those who have the leisure and the money to afford it. Of course, the fact is that the New Zealand churches needed to rapidly upskill and bring online a generation of spiritual directors who simply weren't there before and who have to make their living somehow. It's good that semi-professional training courses emerged to equip those who wish to offer a ministry of spiritual direction. But sometimes people who completed the course and hung their shingle out to advertise for trade have lacked the significant life experience and, dare I say it, time on their knees to have the degree of Christian maturity necessary to offer a word in season to those who are feeling lost about where to next in their Christian walk. The hope has to be that the spiritual direction movement will evolve into something offering depth rather than becoming an industry catering for spiritual tourists. The other danger comes from outside the churches, where, as we're often told, people are into spirituality but are not into organized religion or dogmatic beliefs. People talk about having their own spirituality as if it were a private possession. I remember one person on the fringes of the parish's life in my time in Wellington who told me that Monday was her spiritual development night, and at first I was impressed. But then my uneasiness grew as I realised that what was being talked about was the notion that you could polish a side of yourself to grow a relationship with the beyond as if it were going like going to night classes. Whereas in Christian prayer, it's about reaching out to God from the inner poverty of the grounds of our beseeching, in which the connection we feel with God is something that He gives. We can't make it happen by growing and training an aspect of ourselves as if it were like learning to play tennis. What it comes down to is that we live in an age of narcissistic spirituality. The bookshops of our nation, those that still are bookshops, tell the tale. The endless galaxies of self-help manuals, the variety of soft-focus, new-age, transform-yourself tomes. The me-me generation has brought its solipsistic vision to spirituality. It looks plausible at first glance, but underneath the message is self-first, self-last, if there's any more, have another go. That was a famous saying of my grandfather. At this point, we might, like the Pharisee in this morning's Gospel reading, congratulate ourselves that we are not like these New Age trendies, spiritually shallow yuppies, and spiritually flaky followers of every new fad that comes along. But not so fast. What is actually going on in our prayer life right now? Are we like that Pharisee? Is it all I in our discourse with the divine? How easy it is when praying, even for others, to work ourselves into the script. How often our times alone with God become ruminating sessions on the unmet needs of the self. What a narrow little world we often serve up to God, full of repetitive themes and oh-so-familiar cul-de-sacs. What a cocoon of comforting illusions we often immerse ourselves in what should be the get real space of our day. Our prayer needs to be like that of the tax collectors in the temple, honest, accountable, located in the actual reality of our lives, a fantasy-free zone where manufactured versions of the self are firmly put aside. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is the baseline we start from. Humility, knowing where we fit into the scheme of things, a due sense of proportion about balancing our needs with the rest of the world and its inhabitants. It is this that leads on to getting the I out of our prayer, the end of narcissism, the sense of relief at getting me out of the picture, being able to let go of the burden of the self. We call this praying after the mind of Christ, prayer that changes us, prayer that purifies us, that sifts us and sieves us, that swirls us around gently so that our self-preoccupation is filtered out. So that coming to prayer, we're in fact placing ourselves at the disposal of the kingdom, available for whatever work in the world God thinks we're particularly suited to. Here is a way of prayer that spiritual self-help manuals rarely talk about. Prayer that moves from the I stuff to you, to us. It's the place that Luke's been moving us to over these last two Sundays. First of all, he's been intent on getting our expectations up about what God will do in answer to persistent prayer. Persuading us now to let go of the self and the adventure of prayer, a costly, risky business. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane offers the best example of it. Father, O my Father, all things are possible to thee. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. How far do I dare to go in self-renunciation? To what extent am I prepared to let go of my cherished projects and heart's desires, believing that God has something better for me, if only I will let go into his will? There's a prayer that scares me. I've only been able to pray it a few times in my life. Perhaps one day I'll be able to pray it with the complete assent of my heart. Then who knows what will happen? Here it is. God, I give back to you everything I most wish to keep. Take from me anything you want. Leave me with everything or nothing. Lead me where you will. Amen.